Okay. So, Vayakel Pekude. A nice, short, little parsha. Vayakel Pekude HaChodesh. What is it? 10,000 psukim, something like that, Chaim? It's like 10,000 psukim, something like that? No, I think it's, what, 244 psukim for Yaakov Pekude plus HaChodesh, another 20 or something, I don't know. Something, yeah, something like that. Okay, fine. So what do we get? We get the actual implementation of the plans we got in Trumat Tzav and the building of the Mishkan. And one of the first things that Chazal note, and we've probably talked about it from different angles, is that while the details are in many ways the same, one important thing is switched around, and that is, Chaim, the order. The order, right? The order is very much switched around, partially being that in Truma and Tzitzah, that what do you hear about first? You first hear about the Kelim, and then the Mishkan, and then when Bezalel builds it, you get the Mishkan and the Kelim. Now, Chazal pick up on this. Rashi quotes this midrash, where the, and it's really Gemara in Brachot and Daf Nun Hey, where Amar Shmuel Bar Nachmeni, Amar Rav Yonatan Bezalel al Shem Chachmato Nikra. Bezalel is called Bezalel because of his wisdom. Because when Moshe told Bezalel, when Hashem told Moshe to tell Bezalel to build a Mishkan, he told him, Halach Moshe v'hafach. Moshe, God started Mishkan and Kelim. Moshe switched it and said Kelim and Mishkan. V'amar lo, asei Aron v'chelim u'mishkan. Amar lo, and then Bezalel said, Moshe Rabbeinu min hagho shel olam, Adam boneh bayit, v'achar kach machnis l'tocho kelim. V'ata omer, asei li Aron v'chelim u'mishkan. Kelim u'mishkan. Kelim shani yoseh l'heichan achnisayim. He said, what are you talking about? When people build a house, they build a house, then they build what goes in it. And you're telling me to build what goes in it, and then build the house. Where am I supposed to put these things once they are built? Shema kach amar lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu asei mishkan v'aron v'kelim. Maybe God told you the opposite. That's about the most presumptuous thing someone has ever said, right? And yet, he was right. Amar lo shema b'tzel el hayayita v'yadata. Aha, you are created in the shadow of God. And you are indeed correct. Now this is weird. It's a weird statement. But it's also interesting that what is the immediately previous statement in the Gemara? Oh, very good, Chaim. When you're ready to go through Shas, you only have to start from the beginning and get 55 Latin. It's not so bad. What? Nun hei. So the immediately previous statement is also a sort of an odd statement, which goes like this. Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, Ein Ma'amidin Parnas Alat Tzibur Elam Kenin Lachin Betzibur. You don't appoint a leader to the community unless you ask the community first. Shina Emar, what's the proof? Ru'u, Kara Hashem B'Shem Bezalel. Hashem chose Bezalel. Amar Lo Hakadosh Baruch Hu LeMoshe. Hashem told Moshe, Moshe Hagun Alecha. Moshe, do you like Bezalel? Does he work? Hagun lecha Bezalel, Amar lo Ribono shel Olam im lefanecha hagun lefanai lo kol shekein. If you approve, I approve. Amar lo afal bichein. He said, nevertheless, I want your approval. Lechem or lohem. And now I want you to get approval from the Jews. Halach ma'amar lohem li Yisrael. Hagun lechem Bezalel. So he asked the Jews, is Bezalel good for you? Amar lo im lefanecha hagun. You approved. God approved. What do you want from us? Lefanei lekol shekein? So, let's see if we can get into this statement of Chazal and what the connection is between these two. Okay, so why was I thinking about this? So, I'm in the middle of starting a project. I was asked by some people in Toronto. There was for a very long time, from like 1940 to 1990 or something like that, there was a very serious Talmud Chacham who lived in Toronto, named Rabbi Avram Price. He was a fascinating, fascinating person. Massive, massive Talmud Chacham, unbelievable. His like main works, besides for Chidushim on Shas, he wrote Chidushim line by line on the Smag and the Sefer Hasidim. Very impressive Talmud Chacham. He also wrote these drashot on the Parsha, which show an incredible mastery of Shas and Poskim and, well, pretty much everything. I was asked to attempt to adapt these drashot to English to read it. So I was reading through his drasha on Vayakha last night. He focused on this. I can't go through the whole drasha. It's very long. But this point, I thought, right, let's see if we can at least get one point out. So he said, what are Chazal getting at in these two statements and putting them together? So the second statement, right, he thinks goes as follows. Now, he has a much longer version of this, but let me give you the tamtzit. It's clear that, and this many, many people say, right, Price has his own way of taking it, but let's just say the generic version of it, that in this, what's the logic of Moshe's statement? Yeah, of saying Kalim before Mishkan.
No, they're more.
Yeah, right, it's to focus on importance or purpose. Right, right, importance or purpose or whatever, right? What's the logic of doing Kalim?
Do you buy Kalim the whole building of the house?
Right. It's pragmatic. Right? It's practical. That pretty much everybody says. Now, right, Price takes it a little bit farther, right? And he argues that it's more than that. Because if you continue in the Gemara, there's yet another statement. What does the Gemara say? Amar Yehuda Marav, Yodei Haya Bitzalel Tzareif Otiot Chenivra'u Bahen Shamayim Va'aretz. Bitzalel had yet another wisdom, was that he knew how to combine the letters that were used to create heaven and earth. And now kind of like, what is that? So, as he says, yeah, what is that, right? And then he notes that in the Yalkut it's even worse, because in the Yalkut it says that he knew how to channel light, just like God created the world by in dressing the world in light, or dressing the light of the world. That's, I'm not going to be able to get into that, right? But yeah, I'm not going to be able to get into everything that's going on there. But he says, okay. The fundamental insight seems to be as follows, that, right, this is how he metaphorically reads it, that Shamayim is like, you know, pure spirituality, let's say, but this world cannot handle that type of pure spirituality. And the way God creates the world is by creating a... right, a mundane space where the intensity of pure spirituality is covered, hidden, sheltered, right? Because otherwise the world couldn't exist, right? The world couldn't exist if that was the case, right? If heavens, so to speak, were manifest in this world, right, the world wouldn't exist, we'd have no free will, right? Meaning the world only exists because the Shamayim element of the world is part of the world, but not... So he goes through different ones, right? Meaning you could take it in a very, like, Kabbalistic way, right? That, which he does know that Zohar does, right? That this world would be overwhelmed by the light of God, right? And therefore it's put into Kalim, right? It's put into, right? The pure light of God is covered. But you don't have to take it in the Kabbalistic way, right? He also notes that you can take it in just the free will way, right? That if you take divinity of heaven to be simply God's presence being obvious, if God's presence was too obvious in the world, there'd be no free will, right? But part of what makes this world possible is that God's spirit, presence, is in a certain level hidden. So he argues that what this statement is saying is that there's a tremendous chachma in being able to figure out the ways in which you can make this world divine, but not in the way heaven is divine, in the way that spirituality can exist in this world, right? To be mechaber the otiot shenivra ben shamayim v'aretz, because fundamentally, the heaven is one thing, the earth is something else, and the fact that somehow we exist in this world with an attenuated spirituality that allows for human existence and free will is a tremendous chiddush, right? And Bezalel was a pragmatist, right, a spiritual pragmatist, and was capable of channeling that basic insight into the creation of the Mishkan, of a way of making a spiritual space without overwhelming the physical space in a way that is not possible on Earth. Right? And that's a tremendous chachma, right? To somehow figure out how to have a spiritual place that represents God, that manifests God, but not in a way that is unnatural to the physical world or is capable of existing the physical world, is quite a chachma. And that's how he more or less reads that final statement. Then let's work backwards. He says, okay, if that's the statement, well then maybe we understand the difference between Moshe and Bezalel. Because Moshe, by focusing on purpose, by focusing on the Kalim, right, by focusing on is thinking, as it were, in divine dimensions. Right? Meaning he's thinking about purpose, and therefore it's just the Aron spirituality that clearly comes first, the Mishkan is secondary, right? But there's a certain lack of pragmatism there, right? A certain, like, yes, Moshe, you went up to heaven, right? You are not bound by this world. Your face gives off divine light, right? People can't look at your face, right? Because you are so heavenly. Great. Right? But that's not how things work here. Like, that's very nice to think in those terms, but this world, for spirituality to work, you need to be grounded. Which means that it may be true at some level, but that's not how life actually works. Here, Mishkan and then Kalim. You need a physical space to put the Kalim into. You need a framework in which to put spirituality. Pure, unadulterated spirituality does not work on Earth. Right? And Bezalel understood that and Moshe didn't. And now, go back to statement one. So right, Price says that's the connection between statement two, right, and statement one. You don't appoint a leader unless the people agree. Now, what does that Midrash say? God, it was okay for God. It was okay for Moshe. And yet, God asked Moshe, and God wanted Moshe to ask the people. And each time they say, why do you need our permission? If it's good for God, it's good for us. If it's good for Moshe, it's good for us. But God says, no, I want the people to choose their leader. So Rabbi Price says, yeah, because a leader, obviously you don't want a corrupt leader, right? You don't want someone who's beneath the people. But what we often forget is you also can't have a leader who's too much above the people, because that also doesn't work, right? Leaders need to be grounded. It's great that they're pure, perfect and spiritual and personally the best human beings in the world. But that doesn't help them be a leader. Being a leader is a very specific skill set, which is that you are grounded, right? And that you understand people and they, right? Your message resonates with them, right? So, right, Price says that's the connection, right? Is Bezalel's skill with the Mechaber Shamayim V'aretz, right? To channel spirituality into a way that it could be sustained in this world. In the Mishkan, that expressed itself, that Moshe was thinking highfalutin ideas and spirituality and the purpose, right? And Bezalel is a pragmatist. And therefore, Bezalel is the example Chazal used to say that you need a leader that people approve of. Because it's very nice that God approves of him, but at some level, it's not actually good enough for leadership. That makes sure he's a good person, right? That he's worthy of respect, he's a tzaddik. But that's different from being a leader. A leader needs to be the type of person that the people will agree to. Right? And therefore, the reason Bezalel is chosen is to tell you yes, because at some level Moshe failed in that sense, right? Because Moshe was too above the people, right? Bezalel is the paradigm of a leader that needs the people to agree with him, right? Because that's what a leader is someone who's not so much greater than people that he thinks in ways that aren't practical for average people. Bezalel's chachma was that he was. And so he argues essentially that that's, right, what these three statements in the Agadah are getting at, right? That Bezalel is a paradigmatic leader that needs to be chosen by the people because he's not too above them, and therefore, right, he can help them reach spiritual levels, but at a level that they can understand, right? And you see that in the way he builds the Mishkan, where he focuses on, we need a place to put it in a practical way, right? I know that's not like the high spiritual way of thinking about it, but that's the way it works in this world. Right, and the way Chazal describe his power is the ability to mechaber the letters of Shemayim and Aretz, because that's really the challenge, is to be able to not get caught up in the high spiritual ideas, but understand the limited way in which they need to be expressed in this world. So that, I'm saying it a little bit differently at right price, but the fundamental insight on how to read this Agadata is what I got from his piece, and I think it's a very, very compelling way of reading what Chazal is trying to teach you from Bezalel. Okay.